So many things around us just seem commonplace, automatic, especially when they do the job that we expect out of them. Now, the Biden administration has their way. That could bring more changes than we've already seen when it comes to household appliances. Commonplace will become more costly as the performance of these appliances will become less effective. Joining us to take a look at what's being proposed and the way it'll impact homes, businesses, is Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Ben Lieberman. How are you today, Ben?
Well, I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Always good to get some facts and reality in an issue like this. CEI.org, the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Doing the background on this, Ben, I thought back to when we talked about it off the air for a second. We have seen the end of what I'll call the Edison light bulb for some Jersey pride here, and it was replaced by the LED light bulb, which before the change happened, you used to be able to see plenty of LED bulbs sitting on the shelf because in the stores because nobody wanted them. They're more costly. Gotta help you if you break one because you need a hazmat team to come in. And a lot of people say they don't do the job, especially if you're working with a dimmer situation in where you are using artificial light. So if people think that was an annoyance, there is a lot bigger annoyance on the way, isn't there?
In fact, it's easier to mention the appliances that aren't being subject to bad regulations from the Biden administration. Televisions seem to be off the hook for now, so let's be grateful for that. But just about everything else that plugs in or fires up around the house is subject to pending regulations that threaten to raise the upfront costs and reduce product quality. I'm talking about ceiling fans, water heaters, furnaces, dishwashers, clothes washers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and as you mentioned, the old Edison incandescent light bulb.
Now, this isn't a new idea. It's just being tried on a larger stage because, for example, in California, used to be a nice thing, and especially if you're in Central California mountain area, to go home after a day in the snow and sit by a warm fireplace. But in California, having a new fireplace installed in a new home, probably easier to get a right to carry permit out there.
Yeah. All of these appliances are subject to a range of both federal and, in some cases, state standards. Usually we're talking about Department of Energy efficiency standards, which sounds nice. Who's against energy efficiency, except when it raises the upfront cost more than you're likely to earn back, or it makes the damn thing not do its job the way it's supposed to, as we've seen, especially with these heavily regulated dishwashers that don't clean the dishes and take forever to do the job as much as they do the job. So it's a very comprehensive assault on just about every home appliance. And part of this is justified by so much bad policy, climate change justifications.
Thinking of dishwashers, for example, okay, the dishwasher doesn't do the job the first time. What am I going to do? Well, I'll run the dishes through again. So if the purpose of the dishwasher regulations is to save on water consumption, how's it going to work if I'm having to do my dishes in the dishwasher two and three times?
Well, I first learned this decades ago when those new toilets came out, the water-saving toilets that you have to flush two or three or four times. And we've seen that again and again with appliances that backfire and don't even save water or energy. Dishwashers that require you to rinse the dishes before or afterwards, or sometimes run the load twice to get the job done. You're wasting water, you're wasting energy, and you're wasting people's time. Remember, these appliances used to be called modern conveniences, but thanks to these regulations, they're not quite so convenient anymore.
And just a tip, not from me, but from someone I know who was, well, not really up on the efficiency and the effectiveness. They didn't pre-wash, and they wound up with a plumbing problem because if you leave food on the dish and it starts building up in the pipes, what's going to happen? Yeah, you're going to need a plumber to clean out those pipes, or if not, some heavy-duty chemicals, to say the least. The ideas that are being presented with air conditioners, again, not exactly new because it sort of mirrors what we saw happen with automobile and vehicle AC units, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, air conditioners have been under the gun for decades. First, the refrigerants that used to be called Freon were banned because they depleted the ozone layer, the ozone hole issue. That was decades ago. The substitute refrigerants now are being blamed for climate change, and they're being phased out as well. The end result is air conditioners that cost more and may or may not work as well as they used to. And that's true whether it's repairing an existing air conditioner, a home air conditioner, car air conditioner, or buying new. Both are affected by these regulations.
Something that comes to mind, too, is if you go up to, let's say, Rochester, New York. I'm thinking right now because they're getting some heavy-duty ice and storm up there, and it's cold. Compare Rochester, New York to Phoenix, Arizona when it comes to air conditioners. You're going to need two very different types of AC units to get the job done, yet all these regulations seem to be at least the intent of having a one-size-fits-all situation. That doesn't sound like it's going to work out.
Absolutely. One-size-fits-all is very much a problem with these regulations, especially when they become more and more restrictive. No two homes are alike. No two homeowners are alike. There's regional differences, but there's even personal differences. And we all know our own individualized circumstances and preferences better than any know-it-all in Washington, D.C., cranking out regulations that we all have to comply with. Like, for example, clothes washers, a more expensive but more efficient clothes washer may make sense for a family with five kids who's doing a lot of laundry. But if you're a retired couple doing less laundry, it may not make as much sense. So there's all kinds of individualized circumstances that aren't taken into account. They can't be taken into account when you have these one-size-fits-all standards.
So Ben Lieberman, Senior Fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Brings about the cost, too, in a variety of levels, too, Ben, because, well, let's stick with washing machines. If you're going to have to upgrade into a washing machine with a downgraded service, you're going to wind up paying more money. If you go to a laundromat, for example, think of what you're going to, if you own a laundromat, think of what you're being confronted with right now. You might have to, maybe through a regulation, have to replace every one of the units that you have, and it could be 20, 30, 40 units in some of these professional laundromats that want to stay in business, but going to run out of quarters if this thing keeps up.
Oh, absolutely. And there are these regulations for home appliances, but there's also a separate set of appliances for commercial clothes washers, commercial boilers, commercial sized air conditioners. This is a burden on local governments, you know, schools, hospitals, et cetera. It's a burden on small businesses. You're absolutely right. I focus mostly on the homeowner appliances, the home appliances, but there are a separate set of appliances that are very, very tough on local governments and small businesses as well.
Mentioned fireplaces before, and some people would say, well, that's a luxury. It'd be great to have, but you don't really need it. Again, let's use a colder climate as an example. You're going to need a furnace, and they don't seem to be missing out on that as far as regulations either.
Oh, no, everything is being regulated, not just the luxury items, but definitely the necessities, heating and cooling and refrigerators. Everything is being regulated, and including the things that you just can't get by without. Now, I haven't wasted my time on, like, they have wine chiller regulations. I don't even have enough time to really go after those because those are luxury items. But as you've mentioned, every necessity is also being regulated through these appliance regulations.
And it's bad enough with the energy costs being what they are in making sure the furnace is going to work, but now to have to pay more for the actual furnace before you get to dump the oil or whatever you're using for fuel into the furnace. Just, again, especially for low-income families and households, this is not a happy time.
Yeah, and these regulations are a regressive tax on low-income homeowners, as well as those who aspire to own a home. But the high appliance cost is one of the reasons why home ownership is that much more out of reach. There's no question that people who struggle to make ends meet have the toughest time with these appliance regulations.
Looking at some of the foundation, the root of this, it started really with the gas stoves and through the Consumer Product Safety Commission, which it's a justifiable organization, and their at least imagined role is to make sure that what we as consumers obtain for our use, especially when it comes to anything that involves, I don't know, flame, for example, is always going to be safe, usable, and the manufacturers are being held responsible. How do some of these departments and commissions wind up dictating and creating regulations based on the environment and concerns for, because I really don't see scientists involved in these departments and commissions.
Well, it's what's called mission creep, that these bureaucrats, they like their jobs, they like their high salaries, and they just keep regulating because that's how they keep their jobs. And for some of these appliances, we're literally on to the fourth or fifth or even sixth round of successively tougher standards over the decades with no end in sight. And we're reaching the point of not just diminishing marginal returns, but negative returns. And as I mentioned, climate change is now a finger on the scale in favor of tougher regulations. The argument is that with fewer energy, with less energy needed to run these appliances, we have fewer greenhouse gas emissions and less warming. It's all very, very speculative, but it's another reason why the regulators just keep on regulating.
And should they be faulted for this? Because if you look at how they instituted really unrealistic CAFE standards with vehicles over a span of years, it eventually has now led to the harder push of EVs, which are more costly unless they're subsidized by, you know, state programs and federal programs. But it seems like CAFE standards work with autos, so why not try a similar, you know, close cousin to that idea with household appliances?
Oh, absolutely. You see a lot of parallels with what's being done with vehicles as well. Plus, I would add that the push towards electrification that we see with vehicles is also happening with appliances. When you think of appliances that have natural gas and electricity versions, like stoves, like furnaces, like water heaters, the regulators are burdening the gas versions more than the electric versions to push you towards electric, which again takes away consumer choice and also takes away the low cost option. Because ironically, the Department of Energy admits that natural gas is about three times cheaper on a per unit energy basis. It admits that, but still goes ahead with regulations that make it harder on the natural gas versions of appliances than the electric version.
Certainly here in New Jersey and elsewhere along the eastern seaboard, at least, the difference in price of natural gas versus electricity will be even greater as electricity generation goes from on land traditional heritage ways to offshore more expensive ways of electricity generation. You can learn more about this issue, how it's, well, it might be coming to a kitchen, a living room, a basement, a laundromat, a business near you at the website for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, along with ideas, too, about how to respond. Certainly raising the roof with your elected official is one way of doing it, but, you know, it depends on who's at the head of the table as far as whether these proposed and even enacted regulations can be either reversed or prevented, because if the proponent is sitting in the Oval Office, it could be a challenge to make that change happen. Nevertheless, you are empowered with facts through the work and the communication of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org. He is a senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Ben Lieberman, thanks for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.